You are very welcome to Captain Murph's Cancer Kicking Podcast, the factual, chronological, and indeed real life story of Dunchoklin-based Irishman Aidan Murphy. Now he is currently dealing with, but more importantly, fighting his inoperable cancer. From piloting helicopters to flying hot air balloons, and being the first aviator in the world licensed to do both, since, I might add, after being permanently blinded in one eye at the tender age of 5. Take it from me, Aidan's podcasts are definitely ones worth tuning into. Thank you for your time, and enjoy.
Hello there, and you're very welcome to my very first podcast. It's ironic, my first podcast comes when I went off ballooning for 3 days, believe it or not. I think it was the best therapy ever. So here we go, my first podcast, folks. You're very welcome. It won't be long. I hope you enjoy it. I always said my cancer was like a balloon flight. I'm flying the balloon on my own solo, which I'm not used to doing, but that's me on my cancer battle. And my crew and my friends are all around me. They're supporting me from the ground. They can't be in the air with me because I'm the one with the disease. So I made that analogy months ago, you know, nearly what, 8 or 9 months ago since I got, you know, possibly more, nearly 10 months ago. So, you know, the hot air balloon analogy wasn't very, very, very important to me. It makes a lot of sense to my mind. And I learned very early on in this battle, my mind is going to be a very, very important part of this. So it was only appropriate, perhaps, in the last few days, with the invitation of my good friend Andy Martin in Blagden in Somerset, that I was invited by Andy to take part in the Bristol Hot Air Balloon Fiesta. On the go since, what, 1979? That's 38 years of filling the Avon and Somerset skies with a blast of colour and volley of adventure. 130 hot air balloons in the air, and I was part of it, and it was great. As I said in my Facebook feeds over the weekend, you know, my chemo lasts a week and it's good to me. It's trying to make me better. 3 days of ballooning was better. It was a total distraction in one way, and it was a total concentration in another way, which was very, very important to me. So what's it like when someone like me, quite ill, goes ballooning? Well, you know, it's easier said than done, to be honest with you. And, you know, to be fair, I just didn't drop everything and go to Bristol. I had to make sure I was well enough to go. So that involved booking my flights 3 or 4 weeks in advance and prepared to put them in the bin if I didn't feel well enough to go. So you have to be very, very honest with yourself and extremely responsible to yourself. As we know, it's bad enough getting sick at home. It's worse when you get sick in another country, although I'm sure it could be worse places than in the UK with my friends as well. But these are important considerations that I had to keep on board. And of course, I was armed up to the hilt with all my medication, my 12-hour slow-release painkillers, my tablets that relaxes my muscles, which is helping me with my pains at the moment, which I don't have because I'm taking them regularly, even down to the dreaded laxative, that horrible drink that I have to take every second day. But when I do it, things work normally, if you get what I mean. And that's important to me as well. So the count up to the balloon fiesta, it gave me something to look forward to. And of course, I was minding myself very, very carefully for at least T-minus 4 days in countdown, if you like. So I was trying to make sure that I was in the best health possible before I went. And to be fair to my friend Andy, he knew what was coming. He was over with me with my talk on the 20th of July last. So he knew, you know, that Aidan has to go for a sneaky snooze, as I call it, for 3 hours in the day. More so when you're ballooning. With ballooning, you're up at 5 o'clock in the morning. If my oncologist hears this now, he'll go berserk. But it's okay, doc. I went back to bed before lunch. But these are all important things I had to consider. But it just meant there was a massive win in it for me. And the win was, you know, apart from being able to fly in the Fiesta with Andy and a full control of Andy's balloon called, appropriately called Penny, after its sponsor, Penny Plan Tire and Demolition. And it's 105,000 cubic feet balloon. My own balloons are 90,000 cubic feet. So, you know, it was a bit of an extra challenge for me to fly it. But Andy being Andy put me in that position like he does. But to be fair, keeping a watchful eye on me, and it all worked perfectly well. So these all things help. They helped me concentrate. And on the flip side, as in not concentrating about getting better for a change, but concentrating about flying the balloon. And that to me was very important. It meant for 3 days, folks, over the weekend, starting last Thursday, my cancer, as I said, was a million miles away from me. And that's the place. Sometimes that's the place to keep it. We need that distance, because when times do get tough and times do get rough, me and my cancer do have a rather close relationship, which I'd prefer not to have. And I'd prefer not to share it, to be honest with you. But, you know, I will when it happens. The only time that I knew I was sick, if you like, and I had my inoperable cancer was after we landed, or, you know, and then maybe during the pack away of the balloon. And as I said to you earlier, it's 105,000 cubic feet. So for the non-balloonists among you, that's 15,000 cubic feet more than I would be normally used to flying with. So there's a lot of extra fabric to pack away. You know, so I would get tired very quickly packing it away. But in fairness to Andy, I would just shout at him and say, listen, I just need to go into the retrieve vehicle. I just need to take a bit of a rest. Is that okay? And he was fine with that. I'm sure there was plenty of people looking around, including colleagues that we flew and friends of Andy's that we flew, who said, well, who's that lazy little fellow? What's he up to now? Look, he's after sneaking away and he's sitting down on the job. But you know what? Out ballooning isn't the time to discuss these things, you know, just enjoy it for what it is. Of course, after ballooning, straight back to our launch site and Ashton Downs, I believe it is. Apologies if I have that wrong. Breakfasts were fully organised. It's all part of the deal for the 130 balloonists and their crew. You know, so you'd munch on that. That had picked me up a little bit. Then I'd start feeling tired. So by half 11, I was ready for a coffee. And you know what? I put my hand up here and say a sneaky beer. Yes, the beer tent was open after flying, I might add. And that was brilliant. I can hear you chuckling away, but it was brilliant for a different reason. Well, for a side reason, I should call it. It was great because it gave me a bit of an anaesthetic. So when I closed my eyes, I fell fast asleep come 12:30, 1 o'clock, to be woken at 3 o'clock, where we did it all over again. Although the following night, we were doing a night glow, glowing the balloons in the dark, synchronized to a sound beat of music, which was rehearsed earlier on, and one which works quite well. A balloon glow is fantastic. The balloons are all glowing in the dark. If your balloons, like the penny balloon that we were flying, has got vibrant yellow colours in it, it lights up. It lights up like a beacon in the darkness, along with, what, there was 20, about 15, 16 other balloons, maybe 20 balloons in total altogether, glowing with us, all to the synchronicity of music. And 70,000, 85,000 crowd that was on the boundary lines watching it, they all had a ball. So it was probably 10 or 15 minutes of pure magic for them. But on the flip side of it, as happens, the pretty picture is, you know, it's not pretty to get there. We were all busting our nuts off, if you like, putting it there, because you would need about 7 or 8, possibly 9 crew who know what they're doing. And we had Andy in the basket, you know, in control of the balloon burners, in the total dark, I might add, but able to assist with a torch on his head, and a few of our crew had torches on their heads. But it's not an easy feat to do this, and then throw in the fact that the winds just happened to be, well, let's say there was possibly a 10 to 12 knot gusts coming along around the corner. So not alone were we in the dark, glowing to a beat of a music, listening to a command on an earphone you had to be respectful for, and burn when you were told to burn, long, short, twinkle, stop burning. You know, it's heavy on the concentration. So very similar to flying the balloon. But you know what? It made me forget about everything else as well. I think the best part of it for me during the glow was when our sponsor, Mr. Roger Penny, turned up with his family, and he had a big smile on his face because he could see his balloon glowing in the dark, his Penny balloon, along with all the rest, of course, and the media attention it was getting, both from film, television, and print. And you know what? It's nice that, because the sponsor has to get a go as well, as I always say, because it's their balloon, it's their investment, just a win in it for them as well. And this gentleman is actually quite nice, very approachable guy. And it was nice to see him just jovially there watching it with his family and us, you know, putting in a bit of effort. But we all had big smiles on our face, totally and very much so, very enjoyable. To be fair, I lost track of the time we were glowing for. As I said, I actually did have to sneak around to the back of the Jeep and go for a sneaky little rest, which I had to do, obviously, because I knew, again, you're always thinking ahead with this disease. You're conserving energy for the next hour, for the next half an hour, for the next 20 minutes, for the next 15 minutes, for the next 10 minutes. You're breaking it down because, you know, the night is young still yet, and we still have to pack the balloon away. And I helped with a bit of that as well, to be fair. So again, I apologise for any of my crew that's, or any of Andy's crew that's listening to this podcast. And you saw me sitting twiddling my thumbs. I'm going to hold my hand up now and say why. But trust me, when I could jump out of that Jeep and help, I did. And getting back to the flying it again, Andy, thank you so much for giving me command of the Penny balloon, and flying it and landing it in the Fiesta, because I haven't flown in about a year. And of course, Andy being Andy, saying, "Oh, there's no pressure, Aidan, you know, come on, put your hands on, you've got control." So then halfway through the flight, I'm thinking to myself, I haven't landed my own balloon in a year. This balloon is 15,000 cubic feet bigger. Not sure if I can handle it or not. But of course, Andy was having none of it. He says, "Come on, Murph, you know, you can do the full flight if you want." And you know what? The easy thing would have been to hand it back to him. And Andy would have taken back control of the aircraft and says, "Right, I have it." But you know what? I said, "No, I'm up for this." You know, I have a saying in my own head, and I'm sure fellow pilots might agree with me in ballooning terms, but when I can feel the basket under my feet, I know I'm flying the balloon. It's not flying me. And the other morning, I could feel the basket under my feet. I knew I was flying the balloon. I knew I was in control of it. Even if the landing opportunities were a little bit, shall we say, on the tight side. And it was very hard to do some practice approaches, which I would normally be familiar with doing, which gives me a ground speed indication, a live ground speed indication on surface breezes. And so it tells me what size of a field I need to land this thing in case it drags a bit, which is normal. I hadn't got that opportunity because obviously we were flying over Bristol City. But coming into land, I got perhaps maybe 2 minutes of a ground speed indicator. Things were slowing up and we did manage to put it down on a nice little tidy small little green area just outside Bristol City. And you know what? I had a beautiful smile on my face. If I wasn't wearing it on the outside, I can assure you I was wearing one 10 times bigger on the inside. It wasn't long then before my 2 nights and my 3 days in Bristol were up, and it was time to run back and catch a flight with the Ryan family back to Dublin. Mind you, when I was at the Bristol Balloon Fiesta, I was collared by BBC Radio Bristol. So I'd had a chat with them. That was a live interview that went out yesterday morning, Saturday morning, and I believe I've got a recorded one going out on BBC Radio Bristol tomorrow sometime, so I'll link it on my Facebook page, folks, and you can have a listen to it there. God knows what it turned out like, but you look, it is what it is. I know people are interested to hear a story. I'd be interested in telling my story, but you know, it's important because sometimes it happens to me that I can feel a bit of emotion coming on. The deeper I talk about it, obviously the deeper I'm thinking about it. And I try not to put too much emotion into it, especially when we're speaking on live radio programs. The last thing you want is somebody like me blobbing my eyes out on not on national radio, but even on local radio stations in the UK, let alone in Ireland. But however, it didn't take long, as I said, before the 3 days came to an end. I got dropped back to the airport. Everything went seamlessly well. Got back to Dunshaughlin on Saturday night. Fell into bed at 6:30 in the evening after a cup of coffee and some biscuits. Woke up during the night at 3 a.m. thinking, oh, I'm wide awake now, that's it. But you know what? Thankfully went back asleep at 4 o'clock and stayed asleep until this morning, and then had 2 or 3 hours of another sneaky snooze earlier on today. So I'm well rested. And I said to myself, you know what? It's time to put Aidan's first podcast together again, or together for the first time, I should say. And that's what I've done. So this is my first podcast. I promised myself if I get into this podcasting thing, they won't be long duration-wise. So this one won't be long. I'm going to cut it short now quite soon. Excuse any blips and blobs that were in it. It's my very first time to do it. I'm doing my best. I'll probably get better at it as I go along. But just to say thanks very much for listening to it. And just before I go, two of my good friends here in Ireland who are also in local radio broadcasting sent me a nice little message along, so I'll play that to you now just before I sign off.
Hello there, this is Seamus.
And Christy.
The best of luck to Aidan with his cancer kicking podcast. God, you have to say that with
you. His cancer kicking podcast.
Good on you, good on you. Only for you. Anyway, listen, the best of luck to you, Aidan.
From Seamus and Christy and the LMFM
Breakfast Show.
Each morning from 6.
Thank you.
Seamus from 7.
So there you go, folks. My first podcast out of the way, thankfully. I appreciate you listening to it. And if I made a few boo-boos, forgive me. I'm just learning the trade, as they say. Thank you all so much for tuning into it, if that's the right terminology. As I said, I promise I'll get better at it. So, as I say, it's a goodbye from me. And a goodbye from him, to borrow the two Ronnie sayings. Thank you all so much. Hello and goodbye. Catch you real soon. Bye bye for now.